mein auf den Supercast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 374. I'm Adam and... Sacred Flame. Sacred Fire. And would you believe it, it's Debbie Melrose.
Oi, have you gone potty? Who are you shouting at?
Mary Lang.
Kando not joke. You die.
Andy Nunny.
What a magnificent head.
Thank you. And Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
I can see that, you chicken brain biological disaster.
Oh, I do love his put me downs in this story, I really do. Yes, I can't believe everybody's actually bothered to be turning up for this week's episode. I don't know what the matter with you lot, but you're all here. So that deserves a... Not quite the full-length one, because I haven't got time. Right. So, yes, this week we're going to be finally, after lots of sitting around, having holidays and doing things, we're finally going to be looking at the brain of Morbius.
Are you live-streaming?
Yes, Kirby.
Oh, okay. So are we looking at the actual... A notification. Huh?
What?
I said, are we looking at the actual brain? It'd be a bit
no,
messy.
I'm live-streamed into the wrong place, thanks to you lot putting me off. Let's read. Oh, God.
Are we going to start over?
No, I'm going to delete that before I get into trouble.
It was slick as ever, I see.
That was your lot. Your fault's going off on a tangent, and now I've got to try and find out where.
At least I asked.
Yeah, well done, Kirby. Kirby!
Esther?
Right, so if you can.
Again, Kirby.
I do apologise to all the. Well, they're not even listening, so let's see if we can get it going. I have to explain to the listeners now that...
Watchers.
Well, watchers, yeah. That sounds like some sort of spooky thing. How do you spell episode? Hang on, error while creating live video. Well, that's good then, isn't it? Right, see if you can do it.
We're as good as ever.
Episode. What was it again? 374?
Yep.
374. Live. Right. Let's do it. Because you're full. There's nothing to do with me.
Right.
Once again, I get distracted and stuff from what I'm trying to do. Hello, listeners. Viewers, sorry, to the 20 megabyte page. Sorry, we ended up putting the feed on the wrong... Well, sorry, we. I put it on the wrong group, the APV group. So any APV people have had to jump over to this channel, apologies, but I doubt really wanted to watch it anyway. And for the people who have been hanging around waiting, which, according to my little corner thing, is now two people. Sorry about that. That was... Who are we going to blame this time? That was Kirby's fault. No, it was Mary's fault. It was Mary's fault for talking while we should have been recording.
So. Mary and I were discussing something.
It was Mary and Debbie's fault for talking while we were trying to...
I take full responsibility.
So, for Mary and Debbie... And for, I just said, no, Mary and Debbie, yes. Okay. So, now I've got to find my... thing and try and
Kirby got a ding, by the way.
Benny has. I've got an itch in my nose. Yep, Kirby's got a ding, so I've now got to load up my scoreboard. I'll just talk amongst yourselves for a bit while I try and sort of. That's not talking, Debbie.
Oh, we're playing Tetris. Okay.
I'm playing Tetris.
Tetris. Right, I'm going
to. Feels like that at work all the time.
I've got insert Andy onto my scoreboard. Don't know why he's not on there already. There you go.
Oh, right, thank you. I love you too.
Well, I can take you off the scoreboard if you like, Andy. It's entirely up to you.
Okay.
I think Mary and I
are
going to do our own podcast every month where we discuss stuff we're not allowed to talk about on here.
Well, I mean, we're straying into other forms of Doctor Who is what we were doing.
Yeah. All right. If it's Doctor Who related, that's fair enough. I'll still get your points deducted because I was supposed to be starting the show. So, right. So the scores are Mary on -1, Kirby on 1, Andy on none, and Debbie on -1. So that's at least that's all up and running. What?
Andy should be on none, me.
Oh, ha, ha, ha.
That's like actually quite good, Kirby. Before. I like that one. That was unusually good for you. Well done. Okay, right then. So this week we're going to... Big one. This week we're going to be looking at the brain of Morbius.
Again.
So let's get started. Before we get started, actually, there's some of you that couldn't be bothered to turn up for the last show, which I seem to remember being... What was it?
Me.
What?
Me?
Yeah, so what was the story then, Debbie? Let's see if you watched it. Android Invasion, wasn't it?
Yes, I did watch it.
You did what? On the disc I gave you, or did you have to watch it on...
No, I had to do it on the 24-hour movement because... basically, it wouldn't play on any of
I apologise. I thought it might do. I thought you'd have the technology to get around
no,
that.
No, so did I. I thought I did, but I don't. So it's fine. Don't worry. I still managed to watch it.
Okay, so what do you think of it then?
You might have fun watching The Siege of Doom on that, because I've been watching that, and several of the episodes are actually reversed. they're back to front. So, you know, they are. So everything comes up reading right to left instead of left to right, which is bizarre.
Yeah, okay. So what did you think?
I liked the idea of it. I thought it was a great idea that it wasn't actually Earth, that they were just doing a practice run and they'd landed on the practice planet. And then the old cliche, I say it's an old cliche now of the faces coming off with the, and, you know, to make sure that you know that it's a robot. I really quite like that. And I thought the Doctor had some brilliant throwaway lines as well. And just, it was a good, fun episode. It was nice to have UNIT and see Harry back. But it was a short but sweet, like, incidental most story, and I quite like that. It was good Doctor Whoing.
Oh, well, that's not quite what everybody else thought, so that's quite interesting. Right then.
I watched it with a 7-year-old who was properly scared and who absolutely adored it, so it's like, okay. It really makes it when a story you'd watch as an adult and go meh, but when you're watching it with the age group,
yes,
it
really does lift.
Clutching at straws. I hope those are paper straws, not plastic ones, because plastic ones are very bad for the environment. Can we get on? Right then. So a spaceship, crashes, and a mutt sort of staggers around before getting caught by somebody who we later discovered to be Kondo.
Kondo.
And then.
Master, I tried to do some research to find out if whoever wrote, in whichever order Kondo from this and Mongo from Blazing Saddles were written, they are so similar.
Mongo, like in their speech.
I don't know. I know Blazing Saddles is very good, but I think I've only ever seen it once, so I couldn't remember.
Sacrilege!
No, it's not. Seen it. I've only seen it. Have you ever seen that very amusing film with Kurt Douglas and Arnold Schwarzenegger, the comedy one that's sort of like a cartoon, but it's real action? Can't remember what's Cactus Jack, is it called? And
no idea.
That's really, really funny.
I know they made one where they were twins.
No, that I don't think Kurt Douglas and Schwarzenegger were twins.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, not Kurt Douglas.
That was Danny
DeVito,
I believe.
Yeah, you're right, Danny DeVito.
Catchy shack there. Very good one. Yes.
Back to the episode.
So is the mutt kind of looks like a Zarby when it's got a body in it?
Okay, if you say so. Right, so then we catch up with a character we later discovered to be Solemn, who's caressing a bust of his hero.
I thought he was raising his head, actually.
It's not a bust. There's no shoulders.
They're right. They are right.
Beg your pardon?
They are right.
We are correct.
Are you?
Yep.
Not going to get anywhere, you know.
I missed you.
What?
Right, so that's a point deducted for Kirby.
Why?
A point deducted for Debbie.
Why?
And a point deducted for... Who's the other one that gets a point? Oh, Andy. For pointlessly interrupting me on a very minor detail that was so pedantic that it just beggars belief.
Master,
yes?
That's what you pay me for.
No, it isn't. Right, so anyway, Kondo brings back... the head of the mutt, which doesn't impress Solon.
Something's burning in the kitchen. I will be back in a minute.
Oh, good. We might get through the whole episode. Right. Okay, so then the TARDIS arrives after Solon has levelled a few funny insults at Kondo. And Sarah and the Doctor thinks the Time Lords have forced them to land there. And Sarah goes wandering off and finds a decapitated body, which makes her yelp a little bit, and then it starts raining. But the interesting thing about the rain bit is after Solon tries to get some sort of animatronic action going with the mutt head. The Doctor and Sarah arrive at the door, and there's just one... It's like one of those clouds that only rains on you sort of situations.
Yes.
Oh, he's back.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes, Kirby, are you all right?
Fred burned some toast.
Oh, Fred.
Right. Anyway, so, like I say, then we see the Sisterhood of Khan and...
Sacred Flame! Yeah. Sacred Fire!
And the lovely Marin, is it?
Marin!
Yeah, who looks like a bloke done up as a woman. And sounds like a bloke done up as a woman as well, funny enough.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah, the actress is not nearly, when she filmed this, is not nearly as old as she looks.
Well, no, you can see they've stuck loads of sort of latex on her face.
She's and made up, isn't she?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, Andy. Are we boring you?
You can see it in her hands, though. Hmm. Hands aren't that old.
Okay. Anyway, yes.
The fronts of all the costumes, little round bits,
yeah,
are spoons.
Are they?
From the BBC commissary.
Yes, I'm sure Sylvester McCoy will be absolutely thrilled by this. I beg your pardon, Debbie?
I remember Kirby telling us that the last time we watched it.
I can repeat a lot. I love this story, so I'll repeat a lot.
I'd rather you
all
didn't.
All the same pedantic details, oh dear.
Anyway, Lillian Robin says brainy specs. I think she was referring to my new spectacles, which I'm getting used to because they're very focused. I've never had them before, so I'm having to move my head around to focus on certain aspects of the screen.
You'll be fine. Yeah. I used to fit them for people. You'll be fine. Give it a while.
I'll be fine, and eventually it says finding which part of the spectacles I need to look through to actually find the... I can see her name there. And Terry Miles says, good evening, Adam. Notice
Used to the... Me. You'll get used to your specs.
And Terry left feedback on Kirby's post yesterday.
Good. Right. Back to the episode. Right, so they've got a little cupboard containing a flame. I'm not sure about the health and safety aspects of having a flame in a cupboard.
I can tell... Master.
God, here we go.
I can tell you about the health and safety aspects.
Unless it's an oven, I don't really care.
It is constructed of fireproof fiberglass that very specifically
it's not. The Doctor explained clearly what it was. It's like a special rock quality. It has a special quality that the flame melts out the elixir from the actual rock itself, and it collects in a cup of... What's he on about? Right, I'm going to deduct a point for that one. It's ridiculous. Shut up, Alexa. Alexa, I don't want to know anything about the weather, so shut up.
How did she trigger off that?
Sorry, yeah. I don't know that one.
I'll be quiet. I don't know. Maybe it's got Kirby stuck inside it somewhere.
Master?
Oh, God.
I tried changing my Alexa to the British accent, and she can't understand me.
Oh, dear.
Neither can we.
Don't worry, my one can't understand. She must be obeyed anyway, so don't worry about it, because she normally gets annoyed with it, and when they don't understand it well, when you get a bit of aggression in your voice, it does. She tends to find Deb shouting in the other room. Go in there, think it's either the dog or Isabella she's shouting at, or probably me, and it turns out it's Alexa. Don't you? I did not. That's your fault. I said Alexa. Now I've said it again. Shut up. Right. Shut up.
You're not having a good day, are you, Adam?
Anyone say computer on this end.
Be quiet. Right, so...
cancel.
I must remember I deducted some points there, but I can't remember who I deducted them from. Probably Kirby. I'll just take them off him. Right, so, we find out during the scene involving these very weird Sisterhood of Khan people that they don't like Time Lords at all. Especially Morbius. I beg your pardon, Debbie?
Sorry, I was going off on one about Khan.
Hmm. So there's a knock at the door, and the Doctor has a crap umbrella, but just, like I say, it's only raining on him, so I don't know why Sarah's got a cloak over her head, I really don't. And they come in, and are very hospitably welcomed by Solon. And
who likes his head.
He likes his head very much, yeah. It's very amusing.
And likes his head very much,
Kondo
yeah.
is sent off to get a special wine. I don't think it was corked, but nevertheless, you know, he's quite thrilled about the idea of giving some wine to the doctor and Sarah. Sarah doesn't like wine, so she tips it into a little dish. While that's happening, the Sisterhood of Khan sort of nick the TARDIS using telekinetics, I believe. Oh, I can't remember what it was, but anyway, they moved it from outside into their little a little cave or little shrine or whatever you want to call it.
So they always refer to it as the shrine.
Okay, shrine. The only thing I thought was a bit stupid about the shrine, when they I think, did she have like a ring or something that she could view what was going on?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, it was wobbling around, but no one's business. Why didn't they just sort of take a screenshot of it and just make it so it's still? Because it looked really silly where it was wobbling around. The CSO didn't wobble with it.
Oh, true.
Anyway, so...
that's very pedantic of you. I didn't notice that.
Yeah, I didn't even notice...
Well, shall I deduct a point for myself? Not even in the game.
No, you were just being a cameraman, that's all.
So,
yeah, okay.
The doctor stupidly drinks the wine. Sarah doesn't drink it. She very cleverly tips it into a little bowl. And so when the doctor collapses after realizing who the bust is of, yes, it's a bust, a bust being of Morbius, of course, he collapses. Sarah then pertains to collapse. And
very funnily.
Of course, Solon is absolutely delighted and gets all his measuring devices out. And, he tells Kondo to kill Sarah. Kondo's not that keen on killing Sarah because Sarah's pretty.
He's channeling the Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Little Hashimoto.
And anyway, the Sisterhood of Khan nick the doctor while Solon's gone out to get some equipment.
Were they shaving him, so that's why he got nicked?
Where's that air noise? I can't find it. Try and get there. Oh, here it is. Right, because I forgot to take it off you earlier. There we go. You're back down to zero. I thought you were already down
to zero. Thank you, sir. May I have another?
How do you manage that? While Sarah's poking around Solon's laboratory, she discovers a sort of headless, monstery thing and nearly screams. Just about remembers that she better not scream because she'll get caught.
That body is really cool. It's so gross.
It is pretty gross.
What, Elizabeth Sladen's?
Stuart Fell, apparently. Who didn't he?
Yeah, Stuart Fell.
Play Alpha Centauri.
Yes.
I thought it was a lot shorter, so it was amazing, really.
Actually, you know, it might only be Stuart Fell in the scene in the fourth episode where the monster fell and hits the camera.
I think it's Stuart Fell all the way through, but never mind. Right, so let's moving on. Right, so the doctor arrives at the Sisterhood of Khan. It's not welcomed particularly, enthusiastically by the ladies. It's quite interesting that the couple of them hold a little bit of cardboard flames at him. Don't know how that's going to hold him back.
I was watching this with Fred. She's seen it before, but she likes this one as well. But she was laughing hysterically every time Ohika widened her eyes.
Yeah. I like that, though.
Yes,
I like their hand motions in this. They're really quite cool. And also the fact they seem to be wearing teapots on their heads as well.
It's whatever they could find in the canteen.
Now, you know, I haven't checked. Yeah, I should have done this. I should have been pedantic and checked this before we were on today. But how closely are the new Sisterhood costumes to these?
Well, they're red.
Did they copy the spoons? Did they copy the tea pots on the heads?
Right.
Lori Nix could probably tell us.
I've got an answer to you for that one, Kirby. I don't care. Right then. So the Doctor has some very amusing banter with the Sisterhood of Khan. And I think he does imply to them that Morbius is alive, where they won't have it. Maren won't have the Morbius alive because she was at his execution and saw his body dispersed across the universe. And that rhymes, were they dispersed across
the
universe?
Isn't that what they tried to do with In the Hand of Fear with Oh, darn.
With Darn. Stephanie Darn was a character in The Hand of Fear and was dispersed across uniform.
Eldrad.
Oh, uniform?
Eldrad universe. Dispersed.
Eldrad busted.
Yes, indeed. Anyway, so basically the Doctor has a repeat of the previous story and gets tied up on a pole, not by vines yes. this time. And they're going to set fire to him. If they'd used the sacred flame, that might have sort of, you know, taking him back to be William Hartnell somewhere along the line if he'd been stood under it long enough. Yes, what?
Now, in this case, they did have a little bit of an issue with health and safety because the fire started to get out of control. And the actress who played Marin told Tom to jump out of the way before he got burned.
Oh, that's very nice of her. So she's not all bad then, is she? Ian Kirk says, did Adam just get my audio via Gmail? So, Ian, I better divert from that into the Gmail situation. Let's have a look. Yes, I did, Ian. Thank you very much. Right. But we normally keep that as a bit of a surprise. Damn. Right, point deducted for Ian.
Ian.
Right. So, right. That's right. And then, right, they're about to execute the Doctor, and Solon sort of bounds into the shrine and says, "Oh, no, save his head, please." Oh, very sorry, very sorry, very sorry. And sort of off he slides. And meanwhile, Sarah has sort of managed to sort of get into the shrine as well and undoes the Doctor's binds. And the Doctor gets free, but not before Amaran doesn't fire some sort of blue flame at her, which blinds her. So, back at Solon's house, Solon sulks. And then, sort of, I think Kondo goes on about his arm. He wants
Promise
his arm
me
back.
My arm. Where's my arm? Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And nearly kills Solon in the process of that, which is quite amusing. Anyway, so Sarah's blind, and she sort of plays it up a little bit and sort of goes on about selling flowers, isn't it, in Trafalgar Square or something like that. I can't remember what she was going on about, but
she'll be even better at falling down really small slopes, won't she?
Yeah. What got me was that she obviously did some very good blind acting, probably slightly over top blind acting, but still thought it'd be a good idea venturing across a terrain that was obviously got lots of sheer drops and cliffs and things. And the way she was, like, instead of what probably you would do if you had to go that way while blind, crawling, I think most of the time people would crawl, she was actually literally walking and waving her arms around. Wouldn't help you if you stepped off the edge of a cliff.
Well, you pretend to be crying as you fall to your doom, I suppose. But, yeah, other than
certainly
that.
Didn't help poor old blimmin' Morbius at the end of the story, and he wasn't blind. Anyway, so the Doctor thinks the only person he can take Sarah back to visit is Solon to find out whether she's permanently blind or not. And I think the Sisterhood of Khan think that the Doctor is sort of colluding with Solon, and but still don't believe that Morbius is, you know, alive. So while the Doctor,
he's getting better,
sort of goes off elsewhere with Solon and Kondo, Sarah hears a voice and goes off in search of the voice blindly and finds a brain in a jar.
As you do. Yeah.
Is it Lister from Red Dwarf?
Anyway, so the brain in the jar is obviously Morbius's brain, which Solon has been keeping in a jar to keep.
Well, seeing what the name of the story is, I would hope so.
Yes. And of course, the sacred flame. Solon sends Marin a letter. So, can we have the Doctor's brain, please? If you're going to kill him.
Sarah, no, it's only his brain.
Oh, his head, sorry. His head. Yeah. Thank you, Andy. When they kill him, of course. Sarah tries to go off and gets caught by Kondo.
Master?
While on the cliffs.
I do like how, with the detail of Morbius's brain in the jar, his vocal cords.
Yes.
As the little vibration things. That's just... that. Someone really thought up a cool detail there.
Indeed.
Yes, it did, yeah.
Indeed.
And also, I was watching this last night with Fred, and I told her that we could make our own brain in Morbius because it's mainly silicon that you would use to seal windows.
Oh. Anyway, right.
Okay,
so,
I bored you.
So, anyway, the Doctor arrives back in the Sisterhood of Khan's house, and they throw a red net over him, which is quite amusing.
Shrine. Yes, ding dong! Yes.
And, yeah, I think he's gradually sort of working his way into the hearts of the Sisterhood. Like I say, Kondo finds Sarah, grabs her by the hair, and said, not kill girl, pretty. And
that looks like he was actually hurting her.
It did. Well, she's an actress, Kirby.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, she was an actress. So, the Doctor very kindly fixes the sacred flame by throwing a sort of magic doodah thing in it.
I thought it was a firecracker.
It was a firecracker, something like that. And they're going to kill him.
Kill.
For years, I didn't know I didn't understand what was going on. And you guys told me the last time we spoke that was just a firecracker.
It was a firecracker, yes.
Yeah, it was.
But anyway, he fixes the sacred flame and says, I'll just let it burn through for a little bit because it'll take a bit of while for the elixir to arrive. Meanwhile, Solon prepares because he thinks he's going to get the Doctor's head to stick Morbius's brain into, but Morbius can't wait and gets out. So there's a goldfish bowl in that box over there. Well, stick it in the goldfish bowl for the time being until you get the Doctor's head. So he forgets about the static electricity issues.
The brain on the floor, which is the most.
He hasn't done that yet, Kirby. So right. He hasn't done that yet. We haven't got that to that bit. So the Doctor obviously gets a plot together to pretend he's dead and get the sister to carry his body to Solon's house. And, of course, like you said, that the brain gets knocked on the floor by Kondo, who gets shot. He gets his brain in his hands and the greatest intellect, etc., etc. And Sarah is then forced, because Kondo's incapacitated, is forced to pump a handle to keep some machine going while Solon sort of gets Morbius's sort of brain connected to this monster. And just as Morbius's monster wakes up, Sarah starts seeing again. And the first thing she sees with her new eyes...
The monster.
Yeah.
Yes, a monster. So, but the monster's not quite all there.
I believe that Lillian posted a little video of that scene the other day.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She probably did. So anyway, so Bunsen burner gets knocked over a little bit in the chaos. Sarah gets away and meets up with the pretending to be a sleep doctor, and then Solon has a little bit of a fight with Morbius and gets squashed by the chest, not by the neck, like everybody else seemed to get squashed. And somewhere along the line, Kondo tries to fight with the monster, but gets killed very sadly in some ways. And then
he redeems himself almost.
Yeah, it's very great
to save Sarah. Sarah, yeah. Yes. And then obviously Solon prepares a tranquilizer dart because he has the plan to shoot Morbius so he can finish his work, but not before Morbius's monster kills one of the Sisterhood of Khan, who could have run away quite easily while hiding behind the rock, but she obviously resigned herself to
there is a lot he
killed. Is it Kellier he kills?
Yes, I think so, yes. That's not in the questions, I don't think. It might be, I don't know. Long time ago.
There is a lot of going on in the last episode, and it's so well put together.
Yes.
And there's a lot of plot in that last episode. Yes.
But anyway, the Doctor manages to accidentally get them locked into a room, but fortunately manages to find the ingredients for some sort of cyanide sort of poisoning.
Cyanogen.
That's the one.
Which I believe is close to the name of an operating system for Android.
And murders Solon. But I don't know what the thinking was there to kill Solon, because they were stuck in that room and they killed Solon. How was his plan getting out? How are they supposed to get out? I suppose he was just sacrificing himself and Sarah, knowing that Elise was Solon out of the way, there wouldn't be a Morbius, perhaps, I don't know. And hoping maybe the Sisterhood would let them out. Perhaps. Just thinking.
Perhaps.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a brilliant death scene for Solon. It's quite funny. And yes. Like we say, the Doctor has a bit of a Time Lord battle, which, now, this machine that they did the Time Lord battle with, was musing to, why was it there? Why was this Time Lord battle machine there?
Good question.
Part of the dregs of when Morbius turned up? That's what I assume.
Very convenient that happened to be there. Anyway, so he has a little battle, so we get a few flashbacks of previous Doctors and allegedly previous Morbiuses.
That's the way I've always interpreted it. Yeah. The faces we don't know are previous Morbiuses. Morbiuses,
yes.
Yeah.
And Morbius's brain fries a little bit, and basically staggers off into the hills, and the Sisters of Calm wave a few flames at him, and he falls down a cliff, bashes into a cameraman, and
that's him finished, he's gone.
Yeah. There's a little bit of elixir left.
No cameramen were injured in the filming of this episode.
the Doctor, of course, is mortally wounded in this sort of Time Lord wrestling thingy. But the last bit of elixir is helped to revive him while I don't quite understand why, but Maren decides to sacrifice herself. But there you go, she
just can't wait for more elixir, even though it obviously doesn't take that long.
No, exactly, that's what I was thinking. And then that's it, the Doctor and Sarah skedaddle out of there with a flash of in a flash of smoke, I should say. That's the end of the Brain of Morbius. Right, so I'll just say what I think of Brain of Morbius. It's one of the best Doctor Who stories ever. There is little bits of what the hell's going on in it, but it's so atmospheric. Even though you look at it, that's a blimmin' studio, they have done a really good job of creating the theatrical illusion of being on another planet. Very small cast, but brilliance. Acting performance all around amazing, especially obviously Philip Maddock playing Solon. It's an absolute delight to watch over and over again, this story. I think this is the second story I ever got on VHS, to be fair, because I can't remember if this is the second one that they actually released, the BBC, but this is fab. Not perfect. It might be perfect Doctor Who, but it's not perfect as a production, but it is absolutely amazing. Lovely Doctor Who. Now, what did you think about it, Debbie?
I loved it. Brilliant. It was great to watch it again. Proper, as you say, atmospheric. It was fun. It was silly. It was irreverent. It was thought-provoking. It was everything that you want from a Doctor Who, and it's Tom Baker at the top of his game as Doctor Who, as far as I'm concerned, this one.
As the Doctor.
Yeah, he's the Doctor. He is everything that you want in Doctor Who in this episode, in this story. And just Sarah Jane's brilliant. She's very funny through it. The blind creeping along the cliff is just defies logic, but that's what Doctor Who is all about. So, yeah.
Okay, thank you, Andy. Brilliant. What did you think?
Do you know what? I didn't like it.
Oh my!
What?
Oh, God.
I just thought he ran around in circles with the Doctor running from Khan, City of Khan, back to Morbius, back to the Khan, back to Morbius.
Well, there was only two places for them to go.
It just didn't inspire me.
Have you watched this before, Andy?
I think I've watched it first time round. And I just didn't enjoy it.
Wow.
I've never heard anyone not like this one.
I thought it dragged. Really did.
Well, I thought it was perfect.
I just thought it's
everyone's allowed to have their opinion.
I agree. I'm just very surprised.
But no, I just didn't enjoy it.
Fair enough.
Just before we move on to the next injection of opinion, people are wondering why Desmond Lynham is sitting in front of my face at the moment. This is actually a replacement what do they call those fluffy things you put on microphones to stop the wind hitting them?
Muffler?
Something like that. Anyway, that's what it's doing. It's stopping me from pronouncing my P's too violently for the podcast. Right then, so we've had Andy.
I was peeing, eh?
We've had Andy. We've had Debbie. Next is Kirby.
Absolutely love it, of course. I remember watching this one in like 1980 or whenever. I didn't dig out when I originally
I
watched
think we've
it.
We've watched this, it since then, this, Kirby, to be fair.
Many, many times. This is one of those go-to ones. If I need a really good story that moves fast, it's got classic Tom, it's just one of my favorites. I can't say much more.
Good. Okay. Mary, what did you think of it this time?
Oh, remember the last time we, I think it was Android Invasion. You know, it was so awful. It was funny. I kind of think of that, of this being the same way. I mean, it is so melodrama and it is so derivative. I mean, you know, we've got the Frankenstein and his monster, but the Frankenstein is this mustache twirling evil guy. You know, he's so obvious. And, you know, we've got the little hunchback, we've got the little Hashimoto guy, you know, who takes pity on the little blind girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and when you talk about the sisters, yeah, I mean, you know, everything about them is just so stock, central casting, including the sidekick priestess with the exclamation eyes.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
It just, everything about it is like, oh my God, I've seen this everywhere else before. Did the writer, who I believe was Robert Holmes, I mean, did he have an original idea? I just don't know about this one. It is not my favorite. Now, I thought Tom did a good job, and Sarah Jane, I'm getting a little tired of her at this point.
Well, you won't have to be tired of her much longer.
She's getting a little full of herself. I mean, when she goes blind, does she get upset and cry? No, she starts making fun of the whole situation. Like, oh, I'm a little matchstick girl. It's like, girl, you just went blind.
Yeah, she did sort of play down.
Can I interrupt, please? We've just got something we want to say goodnight. Say night-night, Zaki. Night-night.
Night-night,
Daddy. Night-night. Did we hear that?
Yes, it did. Night-night, Zaki.
Night-night. Is that sleep well? Bye bye. Like Grandpa, we just said.
Hey?
There you go, Zach.
Hope that was directed at Kirby.
What?
Hope that was directed at Kirby. Night night, Grandpa.
Hey!
Right.
But I just, this whole thing is just a borrowing of so many other cliched things.
Well, the podcast.
And making fun of them, you know, which makes it, you know, laughable.
The Hinchcliffe era.
I guess so. But yeah, and I was saying about Sarah, you know, she's still, you know, making her, you know, blowing raspberries at the doctor and making fun of herself as being blind. And does anybody, when they're blind, actually walk out and about, you know, on open boulders,
cliffs? This is the point I made earlier.
Yeah. you'd be crawling. And yeah. Feeling, and although they talk about the high castle where Solon is, and you get the feeling that the sisters are in some kind of a cave. They're practically next to each other because the monster leaves the castle and he turns right around and walks into the cave, where there is a convenient sister sitting at the entrance that positions herself so that he gets, you know, really good purchase on her neck. So he can kill her. I mean, please, come on. So other than it being a good laugh, I don't think much of this one.
So you didn't like it then?
No.
Well, there you go. That's a bit of a shock, isn't it, everyone? Right. I just thought of the microphone cover, who actually looks like Peter Capaldi. If anyone can see.
Does all the... Yeah. Wild gray hair. Huh?
Okay, we've had some people come through on the feed. We've had Ian going on about his script. And then he says, the things on the sisterhood's heads look like ice packs. And then Lillian Robin says, Kondo is mostly armless. Don't be like that one, Lillian.
But ting.
Alan T. Butcher, Harry Hill's BDW burp. I think the British viewers might understand that one a bit better than anyone else. Laurie Nick said, hello, I still say on behalf of the sisterhood, those damn Time Lords are always trying to steal our stash. Ian Kirk says, give Kondo a hand. Lillian Robin.
Hey.
Lillian,
one hand,
beg your pardon?
One hand clapping.
Lenny and Robin says, Andy doesn't like it. And then Ian Kirk said, I think Adam has a treble on his microphone so he can do a P. Now, it must be an old treble if it looks a bit grey-haired, you know. And then Lillian Robin says, Mary doesn't like it. And then Laurie Nick says, I love Mary and Andy, but they are wrong.
Yes, they are. They are.
No, we're not. No, we're not.
Okay, right then. So, hang on. Better get my thing ready, because obviously it's feedback time. So, therefore, we have to play this. If I can find it. Where's it gone?
Oh, Kirby didn't go beep.
I don't care.
Hello, Tony McMack Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Hey.
Warm-blooded with a central nervous system. The Brain of Morbius by Robin Bland or somebody. The TARDIS looks to be in poor condition in close-ups in this story.
It does.
The magic phone booth arrives on the planet Khan.
I'm in the phone booth.
Sorry, I went a bit Debbie there. It must be Shakespearean. Sauron is a bit like the magician Prospero in The Tempest. It looks a bit like Fraser Crane from Cheers. I wonder why Sauron did not use Kondo's head. Now he has Sarah to help him. Yes. The Doctor sorts out the Sisterhood's elixir problem by coming a chimney sweep, like Dick Van Dyke in Mary Poppins.
Yes.
Oh, it's a jolly holiday with Mary. Mary makes your heart so light.
Yes, she does.
Bye for now.
You haven't changed a bit, have you?
What are you talking about?
Thank you.
Right. So Lord Butcher, which of course he will be one day after his time in Parliament, has decreed a certain person should be reading his particular bit of feedback. So one of you, I'm not going to say who just yet, will be receiving a message very shortly. Just taking me a bit of time to go through various parts of Facebook to actually get the bit I need to send the message, so I do apologise for the delay. But here it comes.
Oh. Gee, thanks.
Oh, please. Ah! It's
as soon as you said that, I was like, better put my Facebook up. There we go.
Yeah.
Ooh, spinning wheel of doom.
That's what she said.
Kondo, please lend me a hand. Actually, let's have the whole arm, or for the want of a chimney sweep, your culture was lost. Dear 20 megabyters, the brain of Morbius is, of course, a closely studied pastiche.
It would be, wouldn't it?
In an enhanced sci-fi context with a slight spin on gender politics and cultism. The general theme of the dangers of unethical overreach of a scientific endeavour is clear enough. Dr. Solon's drive to employ any means necessary to revivify, oh bloody hell, his exalted leader at a heinous cost to others is obviously founded on a fanatical devotion which has led him from a prodigious talent to a monstrous practice. The portrayal of the Sisterhood of Khan lays out a strong female-driven culture which is powerful and independent. However, this culture is driven to the point of collapse because of the lady's lack of practical sense in letting soot build up too much, extinguishing the life-giving flame. Terence always had a sketchy take of feminism. There may be some debate provoked. That's as far as I've got.
There may be some debate provoked about. Where are you on about? Do you want me to send you some more?
I've got the spinning wheel of doom going at the moment.
Oh, that excuse. That old chestnut.
Uh-huh, sure.
Have you got it yet?
No.
Well, it says there may be some debate provoked about whether this is intended to reflect an obvious Freudian interpretation to do with blocking a chimney causing a drop in fecundity.
Fecundity.
Oh, you've got it now, have you?
No, I haven't. I've still got the spinning wheel of doom, but I guessed what you were going for.
The Doctor provides an aid to ensure the fireworks required are available to kindle the flame of life if it once again becomes less potent. It should be noted that although some might suggest that this is a very bland story, only worthy to be credited to an author called Bland, Terence Dix has not always been right when judging the relative merits of his own story.
I've got it. Oh, you want me to finish it off?
Well, that's what she said.
It's come true. Yeah.
You go on, then.
Terence Hicks has not always been right when judging the relative merits of his own stories.
Just said that.
We also learn that Elec went on after the usurpation of the Croton yoke of the Gonds to become a supporter of renegade Time Lord Morbius, and later was erased from existence after a poorly conceived plan to wage war on the universe, posing rather heuristically as the Warlord. All in all, The Brain of Morbius is a highly entertaining prequel to the Paul McGann special, The Night of the Doctor. The story is a beautiful triangular construction between the Morbius camp, the Sisterhood camp, and the TARDIS camp, which provides all the elements required for a full and satisfying tale. It is perhaps one arm short or one brain too many for the best interests of your average evil genius, operatically adept lackey. Thank you. Next up, Doctor Who and Quatermass on Ice, The Return of the Axons as Eco-Warriors of Doom. Those are my thoughts. Alan T. Butcher.
Splendid.
Yay.
Thank you for doing most of that.
I went off Wi-Fi and got it on 4G instead.
Yeah, I'm worried about your Wi-Fi and your this particular Skype call, Debbie.
No, I'm fine. It okay. Just means Tom's doing something upstairs.
Is he? Moving on.
Quite dominant in the house at the moment, so
we did have some stuff come through on Kirby's request. Something about Ian Kirk saying about the email servers of internet service providers very bad at the moment, but it obviously worked because it came through. Debbie Melrose, you can always send your script in, and I will endeavour to do it justice. There we go. Any Yorkshire accent, Debbie?
There's a word endeavour there, guys.
Yeah. Laurie Nick says, perhaps one of my faves of all time, gothic horror, mad science, schlock, sci-fi, monsters, sci-fi. Witches. Shut up. Megalomania. Great one-liners. Well, certainly from Solon, anyway. Definitely my cup of tea. Sadly, due to family health issues, my radical feminist treatise on why the Sisterhood of Khan are presented as backwards due to the patriarchy's fear of strong women with powers they cannot subjugate or control didn't get written up. I think it did get written up, actually, Laurie. You said it just then. And then he says, see, the Time Lords are always trying to upstage. And there's a photograph of the Sisterhood of Khan with Omega in the middle of it.
Omega!
And then she says, although I did make him kneel.
Master, quick aside here. I showed this picture to my wife at breakfast this morning.
Yes.
And I said, I was also showing it to Fred. And I said... I mentioned that this was Omega, and my wife tried to correct me. Said, "Shouldn't that be Omega?" Oh. Said, no. No, this is Omega.
Omega.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Terry Miles.
I say Omega.
Yeah. Be quiet. Terry Miles said, "I am one of the lucky ones who have watched Doctor Who from the first episode. So have we, actually, so far, anyway. When it was transmitted. No, we certainly didn't do that. Now, so because obviously I wasn't born when it was first transmitted. Kirby was. When it was transmitted.
I was too young to watch.
Excuses. So this one was just another tea time watch for me. At the end of the first episode, my father, who was a sci-fi fan, asked if this was still the same Doctor Who we had been watching for all the years. It was a horror film, Frankenstein, and he knew I hated horror stories, but I persevered only to find that it was funny, not horrific. Poor Kondo being upon Solon and Sarah Jane going blind and bumbling about strangely, I found so funny. The Sisterhood of Khan with the sooty chimney also made me laugh. Who is this Khan chap anyway? All in all...
Khan!
Yeah, all in all, I enjoyed this one. Yeah, all right.
I couldn't watch it without doing that several times at least.
All in all, I enjoyed this one, unlike some people who like to pick holes in stories, no names. Having lived through the barren years with only virgin books keeping the Doctor alive, I love the fact that the BBC were and now still showing on the sci-fi channel. Showing a sci-fi show. Oh, I should get Debbie to read these. It's terrible. Thank you, Terry.
I'm going to a Doctor Who con in a few weeks.
Right. Debbie's going to read Lillian Robbins' one because I'm making a pig's ear of the old thing.
I'm not on that page.
Oh, for Christ's sake! Right.
I was just correcting you.
Right,
all.
I'm going to have to deduct a point. Oh, sorry, give a point to Andy while you faff.
That's
you got there yet?
Is she Australian, Lillian?
I don't think so. I thought
she was
American.
I've got it now.
I think she lives in my area.
Oh, right, okay.
Hey. Lillian Robin, I adore the Hinchcliffe era. I was 7 or 8 when I saw most of these for the first time with my dad on PBS, and I was literally hiding behind the sofa cushions, yet I was also grinning because it was so fun. The monster body without a head was so scary. It was a bit less scary with the goldfish bowl on it. The brain on the floor still makes me giggle. Yeah, it makes us giggle.
Yeah.
As a little girl, I grabbed something to be my torch and danced in circles along with Sarah and the sisterhood. I practiced holding my hands like the sisterhood did. My mother wouldn't let me try to do the makeup, though, sad face. I ought to follow Laurie's lead and cosplay the sisterhood now that I'm not 8 years old. Great story, great acting, lots of silliness from Tom. And Terence Dick's pseudonym's last name may be Bland, but I have personal experience that his first name is top-notch last name.
Yeah. Excellent. Lillian, I'm going to give up speaking at this rate. I'm drinking orange squash, for goodness sake. Anyway, Joshua Dyball said, no, I can do that, it's only little.
Joshua, that's what she said.
Yeah, I was hoping somebody was going to say that. 7 out of 10, all in all, a good story and very entertaining. Suitably creepy in places. Never did find out who all those faces were when they battled their minds. Niggles me. Sounds like a cock-up to me if Hartnell was Doc 1.
Oh, I know who all those faces are.
Yeah,
production crew.
Crew.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, here we go.
Including Robert Holmes and Hinchcliffe and all those people, yeah.
Yeah. Alan T. Butcher said, great relay team effort. And then Lillian Robin says, I prefer Lillian over Lily. I do apologise, Lillian. She got jumped on that one quick, didn't she? All right. And so that's feedback over and done with. And now it's time for this week's return of you.
Wait. I have a question to ask.
I asked the questions at this segment. I'll go on.
Go on, Mary.
Yeah, go on.
I know there was debate, and I just wonder what you all think. Are those previous incarnations of the Doctor before Hartnell, or are those
Morbiuses? I thought we discussed that.
No, because he says back to the beginning.
Yes,
Doctor,
I know, but unfortunately the Doctor was winning that battle, and all we saw were Morbiuses' previous incarnations.
I don't know.
And yes,
don't
know. The Doctor won it.
We said that it must be before Hartnell.
What?
Last time we talked about it, I thought we all said that it was probably the previous incarnation.
No. That's because we were
never said that.
Because we were wondering about how they were going to extend the Doctor's life, because we hadn't had the regeneration of Smith into Capaldi. But now, having seen that and have watched it this time, it was clearly the Doctor winning against Morbius. Morbius obviously being the sort of megalomaniac he is or was, thought he was winning, but all we saw were his previous incarnations, and he lost the battle.
Master?
What?
I don't think it's obvious. I think it's possible that those are the Doctors.
Well, they're not.
They're not.
No.
You're wrong.
Apparently they're not, Mary.
They're not. No. Okay, it is time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
Master?
Jesus Christ.
Well, you started calling me, and I didn't get a chance.
Chance for what?
We already discussed that these were the production people.
Yes, I know.
But it turned out that when the Actors Union found out that they were doing this, they got mad because these were not actors, so they had to make a contribution to the actors' home.
I'm pretty sure you said that last time as well.
I don't remember saying that last time. I read it yesterday.
Well, I'm fairly sure that was said before. And it is finally, eventually, time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One. I don't know why I put myself through all this. Right then, So, Mary, who do you think's going to be ahead at the end of the questions?
Morbius.
Oh, very good, Kirby. That's one of your better ones. Brilliant, in fact. I'm really impressed with that one. Yeah. So, Mary, who do you think's going to be ahead?
Debbie.
Okay. And Kirby, who do you think's going to be ahead?
What aren't we saying who's going to lose?
No. No, we go ahead first, and then we're going to lose.
Because you all know I'm going to lose. You know that.
What is the matter with you?
Debbie.
Great.
Yes?
Right, Andy, who do you think is going to be ahead?
Kirby.
Nah.
And Debbie, who do you think is going to be ahead?
Actually, I think Kirby.
Nah.
Split.
Right then, Mary, who do you think is going to be on the bottom at the end of the questions?
Let me answer for myself and everyone else. Me.
They're very mean to you, Mary. I should deduct points of meanness. Kirby, who do you think is going to be at the bottom?
Mary.
Andy, who do you think is going to be at the bottom?
I'm not going to argue. It's going to be Mary.
See, I'm telling
you. Debbie, who do you think is going to be at the bottom?
Sorry, Mary.
See, you didn't even ask everybody.
Sorry,
so
about
that, Mary. Nobody has been quite contrary then, have they?
Yeah, I mean, there's points for consistency here.
Now, first question goes to Mary. Remember, you have jokers. So I'll point that out.
Oh, yeah.
So the points currently in last place with minus 1 point is Mary in joint third place. So that is with 0 points is Mary, Debbie and Andy. And in the lead with 1 point is Kirby. So
we're joint second place then, aren't we?
Shut up. Mary.
Careful, he's deducting.
Mary. Yeah, I know. Oh, Mary.
Yeah, right. I said yes, but people talked over me.
Yeah, shall I deduct points off them?
Yes, off of everybody.
Right, that's 0 points of Kirby.
That's you as well,
actually,
Mary.
I didn't actually hear Kirby, so I'm not going to take it. It was only Andy and Debbie I heard points talking, so point
thank
off.
You, sir.
Welcome right. to my world.
All right, so, yeah, your question is this. How far did the Time Lord, did the Time Lords drag the TARDIS off course?
I know.
A thousand parsecs.
Parsecs? You mean parsecs?
Parsecs, I don't know. It's what I wrote.
Shut up, Kirby, yes. You should have played Joker.
You know, I don't have subtitles, so I write what I hear.
Yeah, take no notice of Kirby. He's just mean. Right, then, Kirby, this is your question.
Master.
What did the Doctor initially call the space parachute?
Joker.
Hmm?
Ejection bubble.
It is the correct answer. Oh, I've got to take your Joker off as well, haven't I?
Yes.
Yes. Okay,
I can put my Joker note down now.
Shut up.
Andy. He's a Joker.
Hello.
What did the Doctor say he is going to practice while Sarah went to investigate crashed spaceships?
I know.
Joker, double loops.
What a disappointment that is for Kirby, who apparently said he was not going to win this week. Debbie.
Yes.
Who was mildly established on the what or who was mildly established on the nebula of Cyclops?
Rematz. Ah, I should have joked it.
Yes, you should.
Yeah, you should have.
And amazingly, nothing in the bonus pot. So we move on to Mary.
Whoa.
Who is the second in command of the Sisterhood of Khan? That rhymes.
I'll use my joker here. Yeah. Mobika.
Oh, I know.
I think, yeah.
I feel really bad about this, but... no, it's not that. Who said I was? Debbie said I know first.
It's Debbie, yeah.
Mohika.
Not Mohika.
No, so Debbie gets 2 points in the bonus board, and Debbie gets 2 points because...
Mary.
Because I mispronounced it?
Yeah, but it was a serious mispronunciation. I do apologize.
Okay.
All right, Kirby.
Master.
How did Maren keep the flame looking healthy?
Powdered rindweed.
Everybody knows that.
Did everybody know that? Right, you get a point deducted if not everybody knew that. Did you know that, Mary?
Yes, I did.
No, okay, fair enough. Did you know that, Andy?
No.
Right, that's a point to that for Kirby.
He's lying.
So, okay. And just by interest, did you know that, Debbie?
Yes, I knew that.
I knew that. Yeah. All right then.
Thanks.
Andy.
Yep.
What did the doctor request as they arrived at Solon's front door?
It was a cup of tea, I think it was, wasn't it?
Well, funny enough, no. Who said I know first? I sound like Debbie.
I said it first. Oh,
I think it was Kirby, yeah.
Go on then, Kirby.
Spare a glass of water.
Oh. I knew it was a drink. I just got the wrong one.
Yes, you did.
Noodles.
No, it wasn't noodles either. Right then, Debbie.
Okay, fair enough.
Debbie.
Yeah?
What is Solon's first name?
Come on, Joker it.
I think everyone I know. Knows. I think I've got it.
Oh, Joker Mahendri.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What are you thanking you for? Why do you need thanks?
Because I say she's going to win.
Right, okay, there's 3 points in the bonus pot. For this question, how many crash ships did they count?
I know.
Go on then, Andy.
15.
Is the correct answer. Andy gets 3 points. So the current scores are: in last place with 1 point, it's Mary. In third place with 4 points, it's Andy. In second place with 6 points, it's Debbie. And in the lead with 7 points, it's Kirby.
Hang on, how many got 4 points? I lost a point, didn't I? Of course, yes.
Yes, you did.
Yeah,
yes.
We interrupted, so we got deducted.
Yes, you did. Yes, right. Yes, okay.
Mary?
Yes?
How did Solon warrant the amputation of Kondo's arm?
I don't know.
Good, that means I can play this.
I know.
And Debbie apparently knows.
It was the only way of saving his life, apparently.
Correct. Right, Kirby.
Master.
What is the title of Solon's book?
See, I wish I had a joker to play.
Well, you haven't.
Because it's Microsurgical Techniques into Tissue Transplant.
And your book would, of course, be The Pedantry of the Smart Ass.
Thank you, sir.
Andy.
Okay.
What was on Solon's table next to Sarah while they were supposed to drink the wine?
Don't drink the wine.
Was it a bell or something? I've no idea.
Anybody?
I have no idea.
Well, no idea.
The first time it's happened on this quiz so far. The answer was a torch. Right. Was that Andy's really? Question?
That was mine, yeah.
Okay, so this is Debbie's question.
Yes.
Yeah, I've got to find where I was now. Ah, no, that says time loss. Oh, yeah, right. Who did Solon think were spineless parasites?
I'll have a go.
Time Lords.
I was going to say that, yeah.
Good.
So was I.
Okay, 3 points in the bonus pot for this question. What did Solon call Kondo when the Doctor had been transported away by the Sisterhood?
I think I know.
Go on, then.
Chicken-brained.
I'll give you one of those bonus points there, Andy, but I wanted the full.
Oh, chicken brain. No. Sorry, chicken brain biological disaster. Sorry. It's got it on two lines. It's chicken brain biological disaster.
I said it.
Doesn't matter, Kirby. I'm not like you. I'm not going to be that mean. Is the correct answer. So, current scores. In last place, with 1 point, it's Mary. In second place, with 7 points, it's Debbie. And in joint in the lead, 9 points each, it's Kirby and Debbie. What are you saying, Debbie?
And the cat decided to sit on my computer.
Good puss. Right then. Mary.
Well, I'm glad that...
Is she chasing the mouse?
Oh, very good, Andy. You don't get any points for it.
Oh.
I don't have a mouse.
Mary?
Yes?
What did the doctor initially call Maron?
I don't know.
I know.
Hang on. What's your name? Debbie, isn't it? Debbie knows.
Yeah. Matron.
Yes, very carry-on film.
Matron.
Yes.
Kirby.
Got a bit of carry-on.
Kirby.
Me?
Yes, you.
Master.
According to Ahika, how many corners of the universe are there?
9, of course.
Of course. Andy.
Okay.
What has been on the blink recently, according to the Doctor, during his explanation to his presence on Khan to Maron?
Nah, no idea.
I think I know.
Go on in, Kirby.
The Calibrators.
Is the correct answer. Debbie.
Yes.
How old is the Doctor?
I know.
Oh, pants.
What?
I know.
I don't actually what? Have that written down.
I do.
You know, Andy does. So, Andy?
So do I.
749.
No, I have 750 in my head. That wouldn't have got me any points.
No, it wouldn't have done.
No, it wouldn't.
So, bonus pot. 3 points again in the bonus pot. It's very consistent, isn't it? Right. What did Sarah take out of the Doctor's pocket while he was waiting to burn, sorry, to be burned at the post?
Sonic screwdriver?
Yeah, no, I'd say
a knife?
Like cutters, like wire cutters.
I'm going to give that to Mary.
It yay, was indeed Mary, yeah.
Cutters. So that's 3 points to Mary. And that goes right. So the points, scores are in last place with 4 points, Mary. In third place with 8 points, Andy. In second place with 10 points, Debbie. And in the lead with 12 points, Kirby. Next question goes to Mary. When Sarah realised she had gone blind, what new career did she consider?
Oh, I think I know.
To be a matchstick girl.
Yeah, that's not quite one. Well,
oh. Matchstick seller.
No.
Sorry.
So sell flowers in Piccadilly.
So unfortunately, don't get a third go on that one. It was indeed sell flowers in Piccadilly. Kirby.
Master.
How many of the sisters were able to share the last doses of the elixir of life?
Five.
Yep.
Is the correct answer. Andy.
Yep.
How many rings did Maren wear on her right hand?
Oh, for heaven's sake. Six.
Anybody?
Five.
Say
five.
Well, Debbie said five first, so we give it to her.
Give it to Mary.
No, you said it first, Debbie.
No, it's okay.
No, well, because we want Mary to come last, and then we can double up.
No, I announce things, so go ahead.
We
and give
play it
to
as it is. It's 3 points in the. Hang on, was that your question, Debbie? No, this is your question. Do apologise.
That was a bonus pot, wasn't it?
Was it? Hang on.
I think maybe, so.
No,
it's my question.
Oh, okay.
So, yes, it was your question. Thank you, Andy. Should give you a point for that. In fact, I will.
Thank you.
Debbie's trying to throw me off deliberately, I reckon, for tactical reasons. Right then, Debbie.
Yes?
When the Doctor returned to the Sisterhood of Khan, what did he exclaim just before a red net dropped on him?
I know. It's
gone very quiet, isn't it?
No idea.
Point deducted. Who did that burp?
Not me.
Not me.
Ugh, we can't go on meeting like this.
So who's going to own up to the burp?
Obviously Andy.
He's not going to own up. So 2 points deducted for Andy for burping live on the show. Right, so did you say you don't know, Debbie?
Yeah, but it was too late. Don't worry. Lose the points.
Okay, so did anybody come up with the answer?
Yes, go ding and dong.
All right, Kirby. All right, I'll ding you a dong later. Thank you very much. Right. So there's 4 points in the bonus pot. For this question, what is the Doctor's condition on agreeing to help the Sisterhood? We've gone very quiet again. I can't be bothered to wait anymore. Right, the answer would have been wrecking of spaceships has got to stop. So there's still 4 points in the bonus pot as we move back round to a normal round of questions with Mary. According to the Doctor, what is death, Mary?
It's the price we pay for progress.
Oh, yes, sorry. Shame that wasn't a bonus pot question.
Very good.
Correct answer.
Oh, I want that on my gravestone.
Kirby.
Master?
All right. What was the main problem Solon encountered while experimenting with an artificial brain case?
There was no way of eliminating the buildup of static electricity within the cranial
very
cavity.
Elongated version of the answer, but yes.
Show off.
And you can see that static electricity happened during the battle between
marvelous. It's just the answer should have been just been build up of static electricity. That would have sufficed.
Whatever.
Yes, yeah, whatever. Right then, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
What job was Kondo given during the operation to put Morbius' brain in the artificial brain case?
I know if no one else does.
Pardon?
No.
I know.
Well, I think Kirby said he knows.
Yeah.
I said I know, which is exactly the same thing. Doing the pump, but he couldn't do it.
Oh, bollocks.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. The pump for that would be quite an interesting scenario. Right then, Debbie.
Yes.
Right then. I've lost where I was on the thing. Here we are. Right. Debbie, according to the doctor, what mistake is Sarah always making? That's too long. Let's try this one.
I don't know.
Oh, eventually. Right, anybody? Good lord. Okay, so therefore, the answer is, oh, now I've lost where I was. I'm doing so much multitasking at the moment, it's ridiculous. She thought he was dead. That's a mistake that Sarah's always making, apparently.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, so there's 8 points in the bonus pot.
Wow.
For this question, it could change the course of the game if a certain person answers this question correctly. While carrying the unconscious Morbius back to Solon's house, what did the doctor have planned for the monster?
I think he's going to chop him up, wasn't he?
No.
Oh, did the doctor want the brain returned to the Time Lords?
Yes!
Oh. Okay.
Wow, well done, Mary.
Well done.
Caught there in the end, didn't we?
Is she in the lead now?
That down.
The current scores are, in last place with 7 points, it's Andy.
Oh,
in third place with 11 points, it's Debbie. Second place with 14 points, it's Mary. And in the lead with 18 points, it's Kirby. Next question.
No, Mary.
Next question goes to Mary. What nickname did Sarah use to describe Morbius?
I know.
Chop Suey the Galactic Emperor.
I love that answer, but it's wrong.
That's what I was
going
to
go for.
Oh,
damn.
I know. Kirby knows.
Mr. All Sorts.
Oh, yeah.
What a surprise. Kirby knew that one. The man who apparently wasn't going to win. He may not win. Right then, Kirby.
I can't win now.
Kirby.
Master?
What was the name of the Sisterhood member that Morbius murdered?
I don't know.
Wow. And?
Hallelujah.
Right, anybody?
I've got Billy Stroth written down. I don't know why, but I'm going to face idea.
Comedy answer? I would normally give you a point
Kellier.
For that.
Kellier.
Pardon?
Kellier.
Go on then.
What do you mean,
answer.
Oh, go on then? Didn't she pronounce it right?
No, she did. I didn't count Andy's comedy answer.
Well, so we've got written down, but I have no idea what I'm going to do
there. I'm still bitter over just because I mispronounced a name. I got it wrong.
Yes, it was a major mispronunciation, though. Right, then who was that question originally for? I lost where it was with this.
Kirby, I think.
Me.
All right, so the next question, therefore, goes to Andy. What was on the jar that Sarah found in the lab?
Methane?
No, that's probably a smell that was. Never mind. Yeah, no, it wasn't that. Who said I know? Sorry?
Mary.
Go on, and Mary.
HCN.
Oh! And I've got that written down as well.
Yay!
Right answer.
Damn.
Right. Debbie.
Yeah.
What did the doctor concoct that killed Solon?
Come on, Debbie.
The cyanogen.
Yay!
Is the correct answer.
I said it earlier, you know.
Oh, well done. Yes. No, you don't get anything for that. Just brownie points. Right then, bonus pot question. There's 3 points in it. What were Solon's last words?
I know.
Go on in, Kirby.
You will live again.
Oop. Very funny, yes. Unlike him, of course, which is quite amusing. That was the ultimate irony of that whole situation. So the current scores in last place with 7 points is Andy. In third place with 14 points is Debbie. In second place with 15 points is Mary. And then the lead of 22 points, it's Kirby. Next question goes to Mary. Morbius has the lungs of what animal, Mary? You won't get this one.
Of a beer straw.
You might get this one.
Yay!
Oh, my bell today.
That's what I got written down for some reason. I couldn't think why.
Kirby.
Master.
What alternative names did the Doctor and Sarah think up to tease Morbius?
I haven't.
Oh, we haven't.
No, we haven't.
May I?
Okay.
Yeah. Hang on, whose go is it? It's Kirby's, yeah.
It's mine.
Go on then.
No one's letting me answer.
Get on to the bloody thing then.
Potpourri and chop suey.
Oh, yeah, we got chop
perfect
the wrong
question
answer,
for Kirby to have that one, really, isn't it? Right, next question goes to Andy.
Mm-hmm.
How did the Doctor explain mind bending to Sarah? No, wasn't that?
The last Avatar.
That's probably what happens while they're mind bending.
No, that's it. My answer is.
Okay, right. Anybody?
No. Time Lord Wrestling.
Funny enough. That's correct. Right. Debbie.
Yes.
What did the Doctor think that the Elixir of Life tasted like?
Chicken.
Was it nectar?
Give you a point. I'll give you a point for that. Because it's part of the answer. Go on, Kirby.
I know.
Go on, Kirby.
Yeah.
Me?
Yes, you. Go on.
How many of the Kirbys are there?
Stewed apricots and custard.
And custard, yeah.
But when he says my name, I sometimes hear it as Debbie.
Same here. I hear
can't help the fact that you can't hear properly, Debbie, can I? Right, so there is 1 point in the bonus pot for this question. What were the Doctor's last words of the story?
I know.
Yeah, go on then.
Light the blue touch paper and stand clear.
Correct answer. And there's one question, which is just a that's a bonus pot question, wasn't it? Oh, sorry, I got that wrong. There's one question, that's a free-for-all question left for this. Actually, shall I do a score update? I don't think that will actually make any difference, though. Oh, go on then. Last place, 7 points, Andy. Third place, 16 points, Debbie. Second place, 17 points, Mary. In the lead, 25 points is Kirby. Right then. So, last question for 2 points. What character was played by Colin Fay?
Kondo!
Oh dear, it was a sort of ding, really. So, there we go. The final scores of the quiz are, as before, but with Kirby, with 27 points. So, Mary predicted Debbie to be ahead. Mm. And Mary to be at the bottom. Oh dear. Right, Kirby predicted Debbie to be ahead.
Debbie, you disappointed me.
Sorry.
Andy predicted Kirby to be ahead and Mary to be at the bottom. And then Debbie predicted Kirby to be ahead and Mary to be at the bottom. So the final scores of this week's You Won't Get This One. In last place with 14 points is Andy. Joined second place with 17 points each is Mary and Kirby. And the winner this week with 32 points, it's Debbie.
No! Yeah.
return to the Facebook feed, in which we have Alan T. Butcher says, neither Doctor nor Morbius, just production staff. Nice one. No, he's on about that. Then he says, Garm is looking askance. What's that mean?
Askance.
At the new dog that Adam is speaking into. Then he says, last of the Ohicans. And then Linny and Robin says, so exciting. What's so exciting? Me? What's she talking about? Is it
of
me?
Of course. What else?
And probably the competition that we just had.
And then she says, where is the waiting music from? It's a lift, of course. Otherwise known as Left
Tony Hart.
Bank.
Tony Hart.
Shut up, Debbie. Shush. Left Bank 2. Otherwise known as the gallery music from Vision On.
And, those are both British things, I believe.
No, they're not. They're like I said, Outer Mongolian things, actually, Kirby.
Huh?
Never mind. Right then, so let's move on to Doctor Who.
I believe she lives close to me, and which would make her American. Which means...
Yeah.
No idea.
Oh, there you go. A bit like the deer in Terror of the Zygons. Had a bit
What episode number is this of the 20 megabyte? 374?
Yeah.
I'm updating the episode listing with who won.
Got a bit of time on your hands there, Kirby. Doctor Who news, Debbie. Oh, you can do this bit. As long as you don't, I'll interject if you...
No, I can't. Can't
what?
Get it up.
That's what she said.
That's what he said, yeah.
That's what...
Okay, I'll do it then, shall I? Okay, Doctor Who magazine.
You're bloody lucky I'm here.
With a new logo on the cover, issue 524, has got Eccleston and Tennant and Smith and Capaldi on the cover. Back on target, Russell T. Davis and Stephen Moffat reveal the next chapter for Doctor Who's best loved books. So you can get that for whowon.co.uk, actually, if you don't live in Great Britain.
Is it whowon.co.uk?
Series 9 soundtrack details. Silver Screen will release the soundtrack to Series 9 of Doctor Who on the 27th of April 2018. I reckon that Rhys Parton might be tempted to purchase that. Obviously, Murray Gold's last musical contribution to Doctor Who. Very sad.
I wonder if they're using the new Doctor Who logo on all the stuff that came before it.
Yeah, that's a bit silly. I'm a bit silly using it on Capaldi stuff.
It should have its own unique,
Yeah, I don't think it should be on that particular album. I agree with you, Mary.
They did that. They've used, like, the second Doctor logo for Fifth Doctor stuff, etc. I mean, they just use whatever.
Okay. Black Archive number 18, Marco Polo. The latest release from the Black Black Archive series of books at the 1964 Doctor Who story Marco Polo. Why did you say looks at the 1964 Doctor Who story Marco Polo? I'm not going to speak any more about that. Candy Jar Books have released details about the history of the first book in their forthcoming spin-off series from Lethbridge Stewart, The Lucy Wilson Mysteries. Lethbridge Stewart short story collection is also coming out. Not a lot of real major news here, is there? Second Target for Tommy, a charity book, Second Target for Tommy, is now available as an ebook, Kindle or EPUB, for £9.99, and it's got a list of writers involved in it. Christopher Eccleston talks about Doctor Who. He's been talking to media about his time on the show, explaining some of the circumstances of his departure. Now, I'm not going to go for all of those because my eyes with these new glasses are starting to go a bit cross-eyed. But I have heard that he sort of thinks he should have done a second series, and he's also appearing at a convention. You know, you never know. He might do a multi-doctor story somewhere in the future. You never know. He won't look anything like he did in the show, unfortunately, when he does that. 12th Doctor Year 3, 13 out today is the 12th Doctor's final Year 3 adventure in Doctor Who, the 12th Doctor Year 313. Okay, and then that goes back to Ken Dodd. So that's about it for Doctor Who news. I suppose the next thing we should do is whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
Well, yes. Latest products coming out is like we.
Say that all the time.
Do you? Is the latest magazine that I've just mentioned that you can buy if you don't live in the UK and get it much easier and quicker through Who Won. They've got Squeezy Daleks as well.
Ooh, yeah. I love a Squeezy Dalek.
And they've got a Dalek lamp. And a Wind Up Dalek. Oh, that's going back to the old days. These Daleks are in the sort of Dalek, is it the Paradigm Dalek type of Dalek rather than the
Are they the red ones and Teletubby ones?
Teletubby Daleks, ones. Indeed.
Yes.
Paradigm ones, yeah.
There's also a Doctor Who, which I don't know if it's a Big Finish story or if it's a... Hang on, I'm going to click on this, let's see what it is. Is it a e-book? Fourth Doctor e-book?
Oh, I loved my Big Finish.
It's called The Thing from the Sea.
Only the Good was amazing. The War Master, the one that I got. It's just fantastic.
Oh, the War Master, yeah, really good.
Oh, cool.
I'm listening to it again.
Alien Amongst Us 3, Christmas Invasion. That's a Target book, by the way. That'd be interesting if you like Target books, how they've novelised that. Churchill Years 2, City of Death in the traditional style Target. Day of the Doctor in traditional style Target. Death of Captain Jack, which is a Torchwood. The death? That's going to be the death. He's immortal. It's obviously a Torchwood story. Big Finish thing.
We saw when he died as the face of Bo. Come on.
Exactly. That's why it's very confusing. Gallifrey Time War. These are all available for pre-order at whowon.co.uk. There's lots of faces on the front of the Gallifrey Time War CD, including Romana, the Eighth Doctor, Ace, the War Master, which intrigues me as far as Big Finish productions go, Leela, and some character I can't recognise. And then Helix Rift, which is a Big Finish story with the Fifth Doctor, Mark of the Rani. I must buy that. Actually, it's not too bad, Mark of the Rani, is it? That's an audio book. And Rose, the Target novelisation by Russell T Davies. So if you like your Doctor Who books, there's some really good stuff coming in at Who Won. Worth buying. Also available for pre-order is Serpent in the Silver Mask, which is a Big Finish Fifth Doctor story, and Third Doctor Adventure 4, which is a Big Finish Third Doctor story. And then finally, Twice Upon a Time by Paul Cornell, which is a... I don't know if the original was written by Paul Cornell, but it's a 12th Doctor novel, Target novel. All very exciting for the Target fans out there. Maybe they're preparing for a what they call it when the show's not on anymore, a hiatus by releasing all these novels. Perhaps, just thinking. Right, so Lavazzi, our good old friends at Lavazzi, have, guess what? Doctor Who scarves, which is the absolute essential for any real Doctor Who fan.
Well, we wouldn't know anything about that, would we, Kirby?
Along with lots of Seventh Doctor cosplay stuff as well, especially the jumper that's unwearable, which is the question mark pullover. I can't wear it out.
Why is it unwearable? What do you mean?
I can't wear it out. The only way I can ever wear that is to a convention. I'd look daft wearing it. I tried wearing it, and I got told off. In fact, I used to wear it over the Fifth Doctor's cricket jumper and still got told off and told her how absurd. You can't go out wearing that, says she who must be a maid.
Oh, okay.
So, oh, yes, I have it.
Yeah, we're wondering who it was.
I cherish it. Oh, and also she says I look really fat in it as well, so that's another reason why I'm not allowed to wear it. Of course, you can also get Star Trek stuff, scarves, umbrellas and stuff. So, yeah, lots of really good stuff. And apart from that, just normal clothes. That's lavazzi.co.uk, everybody. Right, there's a convention coming up on the Isle of Wight, which has had several new guests announced, some of which I've never heard of, but... it gets bigger and bigger and time goes on. Debbie, who we got coming? Oh, she's still there. You don't know?
Loads, I said. The posters have been coming thick and fast, definitely.
One thing that people aren't booking is the video ops, which we're doing. So book your video ops, especially your video ops with Sylvester McCoy. You better hurry up, because I know that's obviously where it's the only person, apart from John Davey, friend of the show, has actually agreed to do the video ops. The McCoy ones are going to sell out. So if you want to do a video, a 30-second video with Sylvester McCoy, come to the Isle of Wight Comic-Con and book it up.
I will book
one. I wish
one
I could.
Because I'd love to. Absolutely.
I think I've done one.
To.
Fairly sure I've booked one, even though I'm actually doing it. Well, Deb's doing it. But
I would like
me. My
him.
Company doing it. I've got to pay my own company and Sylvester a certain amount of money so I can do a special video bumper for the podcast. So there you go. That's but do it. Yes. So meet Sylvester McCoy. Do a video with him. You get an online video that you can share and show off to your friends. Isn't that fun, Kirby? Ooh. No? Well, I thought it was.
Yes, I just said, ooh.
Also, I must say I've been indulging in various TV shows recently in the little 20-megabyte hiatus. Star Trek Voyager I've been thoroughly enjoying on the second viewing because I can't remember much about the first viewing of it. Currently in the middle of series two, and what a wonderful show. I keep going on about this. Love Voyager. And also Big Bang Theory, we're up to series four, episode four at the moment. And one of my friends said that it stops being funny once the girlfriends start coming into the show. Well, I haven't found that. In fact, I'm finding it's actually becoming more consistently funny. Now we've got some of the girlfriends appearing in it, so that's my view. It's the best comedy on television. So that was my viewing other than Doctor Who this week. Next time, it's going to be next week, I think, because I did warn you guys that you have plenty of time to watch Brain of Morbius and Seeds of between now and next week. Now I think you might be in luck, actually. I can't record next week. Damn. You're lucky. So it is going to be on the 22nd of April. Okay? So you've got an extra week to watch The Seeds of...
That's good, because I've never seen it.
Well, you should have seen it by now. You've had plenty of time.
I've watched five episodes of it.
You're a good boy, well, Andy.
And watching it, I know I've seen it before. I thought we had looked at it as a group.
I can't remember.
It's
probably
not on my master...
Yeah, and I couldn't find any past notes.
We've seen Seeds of Death,
yeah,
my darling. Darling Mary.
I must have just watched it on my own.
Darling Mary. We've seen Seeds of Death, not Seeds of Doom.
We've talked about it a couple of times, but I don't think I've watched this one.
So which one is this? Seeds of Wit?
Seeds
Doom.
Of Doom.
Doom.
Yes. So, and it's the last story of this particular series of Doctor Who before we move into... Elizabeth Sladen's last two regular episodes on the show. Stories, sorry. After
now, somehow I thought we Mask of Mandragora was next, but that's
no,
fine.
That's the next one after that. And then it's Hand of Fear. So that'll be in 2 weeks' time because I have to film a wedding on the 15th of April, so I won't be available to the show. Now, I don't have to film a wedding. I've got a pre-wedding shoot, which will be from 6 p.m. to about 8 p.m, so I won't be able to do the show. So that's it for this particular episode. And apart from, in case anyone else has posted on the feed, oh my god, they have to. So we've got Lillian, Robin, Marco. We've got Alan T. Butcher, Polo. That's it. So until 2 weeks' time, sorry, there's another little break. It's not my fault. I do have a business to run.
I'm glad that there's a break because I mean,
you've had plenty of time to watch Seeds of Doom.
Yeah, I'm happy.
Like I said, I thought the next one was Mandragora.
You were wrong, Kirby. That doesn't happen very often, does it?
Do I lose a point?
He said sarcastically. So until next time, thanks everybody for watching. Thanks you for listening. See you again next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Bye.
Bye, y'all.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production, sponsored by whoone.co.uk and Navazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.